Wednesday Locked On Vols will actually preview tonight's matchup against Arizona on the hardwood. That's an inside joke for all you guys that listened to yesterday's show. But Rob Lewis, VolQuest.com, will stop by and preview that matchup. It's the Vols and the Wildcats, number 6 versus number 17 in the land. That's coming up here today on Locked On Vols. Plus, the tight end room for Tennessee football got some great news on Tuesday and a little bit more of the Twitter Tuesday leftover. That is your Wednesday show rundown here on Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of Locked On Vols, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for a special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for powering your business growth. That is NetSuite at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Got a fun show coming up here today. Of course, I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find this podcast at _Kane or at Locked On Vols every single weekday morning on every single platform. It is completely free. Guys, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. We are inching ever so closer to Christmas. We got Sports Santa coming up on a Friday show, so don't forget, DM me, tweet me in your Sports Santa wish. What would you ask for Christmas to Sports Santa if he could grant you one Tennessee Volunteer wish? What would you ask Sports Santa? Just write to me and hashtag it Sports Santa, and we'll get to it on Friday's show. All right, so Tennessee basketball actually plays tonight. I kept referring to the game as tonight on yesterday's show because I'm a moron. But Wednesday night, Tennessee and Arizona get going. We're going to bring on Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com to talk about it. Here is Rob Lewis. Rob, before looking ahead to a monster showdown coming up tonight against number 6 Arizona, I want to look back at what never happened, the Memphis game at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday. Just a huge debacle. Kind of what's your take on that whole situation?
It's just regrettable. I mean, I don't cover Memphis. I don't know what the real story is. I mean, you hear they would have had 4 scholarship players available because of testing and contract tracing. You know, I don't know what the real story is, but I from the Tennessee side, I certainly, from reading between the lines of Rick Barnes's comments, he felt like the game could have still been played. I mean, you hear him saying things like we would have pulled kids out of the student body, and you hear him, I mean, I've heard him at least twice reference his former assistant, Rob Lanier, who took a shorthanded Georgia State team to Rhode Island and played a game when he was missing, you know, like 5 or 6 players, including 3 starters. So it's pretty clear from, you know, that Rick feels like the game could have been played. And I just hate it for the fans, because downtown Nashville was electric Saturday morning. I mean, it was covered with orange. That building was going to be rocking. It was going to be a great environment. And I just hate that fans, you know, get cheated out of that.
You know, I might have heard Rick Barnes incorrectly, because this seems like a very high travel budget for just a game going to Nashville. But did he say $30,000 was blown from their travel budget? I mean, I had to hear that incorrectly, right?
No, it adds up fast. I mean, first, when you're just talking about a bus, chartering a bus to Nashville, that's several thousand dollars. You're talking about, you know, the kids, the players will team up, but you're traveling with 14 guys, probably, you know, seven hotel rooms. Then you have support staff, assistant coaches. I mean, you're probably talking about, you know, 15 hotel rooms, and they're not staying at the courtyard out by the airport. You know, and you're renting meeting rooms out, so, you know, to watch film and have walkthroughs. You know, you're catering a couple of meals. I have no problem believing $30,000.
Yeah, Rick Barnes on Monday during his media availability, trying to just kind of put this whole thing to rest. Certainly, you know, wasn't bashful in his words. You could tell just by watching that press conference that he's not happy about how it all played out. I think it's safe to say that as long as Penny Hardaway is the head coach of Memphis, as long as Rick Barnes is the head coach of Tennessee, this Tennessee-Memphis series will likely not have a new chapter, at least anytime soon. Is that right?
Oh, it's done. It's over. And it's, you know, Jeff Calkins wrote this. You may have read it, so I'm not breaking new ground. But it's a complete failure of leadership on Penny Hardaway's part to have his team in that vulnerable of a position. I mean, you can't make kids get vaccinated, but you can educate them. And you can, you know, you can teach, you could be a leader. I mean, Tennessee has 15 out of their 17 kids counting walk-ons are vaccinated. And to me, it's just, you know, it's mystifying that you could let that, and especially when it has become apparent that Hardaway flat out lied earlier in the preseason when he said 90% of his team was vaccinated, and then comes back with this completely incredibly weak, well, I maybe misspoke comment over the weekend. I mean, Memphis is getting what they deserve. I mean, they're getting pilloried and they deserve it.
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway for me, of course, the misspoke comment. I mean, he flat out lied, but then he goes on to say in his comments, you know, I encouraged it. We talked about it, and then I just kind of left it alone. I didn't look. I never thought about it.
It's the biggest topic in the country. I mean, how do you not talk about it with your team when you're supposed to be a mentor, a role model? That's just what it makes you throw your hands up. Like,
yeah, are you kidding me? It certainly does, for sure. But now, moving away from Memphis, going on to another critical game, you know, that was supposed to start just kind of this run for Tennessee of, you know, really, really good quality opponents. Memphis, of course, have had the struggles this season, but just took down Alabama the week before. But that game's not happening. But Tennessee tipping off against Arizona tonight. Then you'll be at Alabama before the new year, Ole Miss, which is not a great team. But then you're at LSU. Arizona, number one in the net rankings, number seven in KenPom, number six in the AP. Arizona is a good, good basketball team, and it's a good opportunity for the Tennessee basketball team to kind of another measuring stick game to see how good you really are.
Yeah, you see, back in the preseason, this just looked like kind of a nice game. But Arizona has, really outperformed expectations. And I kind of thought, you know, before this week, you know, yeah, they're in the top 10. I was like, you know, really, how good are they? But prior to the game, you know, in writing my stuff, started to, you know, dig into them. And man, they've got some really impressive numbers. They lead the nation in assists per game, 21.5. They lead the nation in scoring at 94 points per game. They're big, they're deep. They start 7'1", 6'11" in the post. The 7'1" kid is a big time shot blocker, almost 4 per game. They shoot the three well, and golly, I can't the one kid's name. I don't know if I can say it, EC. I'm gonna try. They have a sophomore, a wing, Benedict Mathurin, really 6'6" kid, can shoot it. He's averaging 17 points a game, really athletic, and it's going to be a challenge for Tennessee. They rebound the basketball really, really well, and for me, I think that may be where the challenge starts. I'm going to be – if Rick wants to play his you know, three-point guards a big amount of time, Kennedy, Zakai, Santiago, it's going to be fascinating to see who can kind of take the most advantage of it, because Tennessee will have a really hard time guarding Arizona with that lineup. But at the same time, Arizona is going to have a real hard time staying in front of those guys on the other end.
Yeah, certainly. And outside of Mathurin, who's a projected first round draft pick in this upcoming NBA draft, they have another sophomore by the name of Azulis Tublis, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Could be way off there. But he's averaging 16 points and 6 rebounds a game. They've their average margin of victory, I think, is 28.2 points per game. Or they have 11 wins this season. The combined average margin of 28.2 points per game. Just incredible. As simple as it can be, what is the winning formula for Tennessee? Obviously, it's got to improve on itself. It's got to, you know, be respectable from shooting the three. It's got to be much better, you know, shooting free throws than it has been. If Tennessee wants to pull off this win at home, you know, what does Tennessee need to do?
I mean, I hate to say it, make it look this simple, but I mean, 10 games into the year, this feels like a team that's going to live and die by the three-pointer. They're guard oriented. They don't have a guy in the post that's averaging double figures. You know, Olivier's 8 point something. Fulkerson is even lower than that. And the numbers are stupid. When they're 8 wins, they're shooting 40% from three. They're 2 losses, they're shooting 16% from three. That's pretty cut and dry. I mean, maybe it becomes less extreme as the year goes on, but I think they've got to shoot it well from the outside, and they just can't get destroyed on the glass. I'll be really surprised if Tennessee can win the battle of the boards, but they just can't give up a ton of offensive rebounds and second chance points. This is Tommy Lloyd, the head coach, Arizona first-year head coach, 22 years as an assistant at Gonzaga. And if you watch them play, I mean, that's how they want to play. They're really big in the paint. They're not, you know, Gonzaga is not like a lot of places, a lot of programs that has kind of said, you know, we're going small. They have a lot of size. I mean, skilled size, you know, don't get me wrong, but they are not playing a bunch of little guys. They had four of the five starters are international players. So, you know, I think that tends to lend itself to having really good spacing. I may be, you know, maybe generalizing things, but I think international guys play a little bit of different brand of basketball. And I think that shows up in how they space the floor and they can shoot it. So, yeah, oversimplification, Tennessee's got to shoot it well and they can't get crushed on the glass. Arizona has a plus 11.5 rebounding margin on the year, which is big.
RobLewisVolquest.com. Would you say this four-game stretch, and I know that there's going to be a challenge and, you know, each and every night when you play in the SEC, especially nowadays, but would you say that this four-game stretch coming up, Arizona at Alabama, Ole Miss at LSU, I don't want to say make or break, but do you think we're going to have a really good indication on exactly what this Tennessee team is by the end of that LSU game?
Well, it can be a tone setter. I mean, college basketball is so long. I mean, even now, I mean, we're sitting here and Tennessee has probably almost 20 games left. If you're counting the SEC tournament, I mean, it's a long season. So a lot can change, but this is going to set the tone. I mean, Arizona is going to be your last chance at a really grabbing a win that will resonate on Selection Sunday. I mean, you beat UNC, which is, I mean, they're okay, but this is going to be your last shot to play some good teams in the SEC, but to have a signature win that's going to resonate nationally, this is it. And then, I mean, you couldn't open up with a tougher game in conference play than going to Tuscaloosa. I mean, I know Alabama's been up and down. They got crushed by Memphis last week, but following that, their win over Houston, excuse me, I would have said they were the favorite to win the SEC, and I still think they probably are. I mean, Arkansas, Kentucky's certainly capable, but you know, I don't love them. I mean, Arkansas has really stumbled. They lost to Hofstra on Saturday, if I'm remembering correctly. So I think if Tennessee can go down and get a win in Tuscaloosa, I think the Vols really kind of established themselves as the favorite. And LSU, they haven't played anybody. Their best wins, I mean, they're undefeated, but their best wins Georgia Tech. So I think the jury is way out on them. But, you know, if you can start 2-1 with that stretch, I mean, Tennessee should handle Ole Miss, but two really tough road games at Tuscaloosa and Baton Rouge. If you can go 2-1 to start league play, you know, Rick wouldn't say this publicly, but I bet he would take that.
Yeah. All right, last thing, Rob. Rotation. Looks like Rick Barnes is content, you know, with that 9-man rotation. Do you see it slimming down any? And of course, Huntley Hatfield, he was the first post player off the bench for Tennessee against UC Upstate last week. Do you see his run getting or his role getting more expanded as the season goes on?
I hope so. And I think it really needs to. But for right now, I mean, just based on watching practice this week, it looked like Plavzik got run with the ones. It looked like Brandon Huntley Hatfield got run with the ones. Looked like Victor Bailey got run with the ones. Looked like Justin Powell got some run with the ones. To me, it looks like he's going to continue to play 9 and 10 guys right now. And, you know, Rick Barnes has forgotten more about basketball than I'm ever going to know, but I would shorten that lineup up. There'd be a couple of those guys that would not be playing unless we had some foul trouble.
You and me both, Rob. He's Rob Lewis, VolQuest.com. We got a lot going on over there at VolQuest.com right now, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, continual basketball coverage, bowl coverage, and recruiting. And, of course, you can check out Rob every single Tennessee basketball game day before, after, all the coverage. That is at VolQuest.com. Rob, thanks so much, man.
No problem, EC. Thanks for having me.
Big thanks to Rob Lewis for joining the show. And be sure to follow his work at VolQuest.com. We'll talk tight ends and Tennessee football when we return. But we're all fans of this. It's bowl season, so now is the time. It is Prize Picks. I've been telling you guys about Prize Picks for some time. If you haven't signed up yet, you're missing out. What are you waiting on? In addition to college football action, Prize Picks makes college basketball even more exciting. Prize Picks, it's the daily leader in fantasy daily sports. Prize Picks offers more college football props and basketball props than anyone in the world. And it offers all the star players of the Power 5 as well as the mid-majors that you might not have even heard of yet. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of. In basketball, you can play the points, the rebounds, the assists, the threes made, and more. And all of you users that deposit and use the promo code Locked On, you're going to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks allows mixed sports entries as well. You can take the over in the Joel Embiid combined with the under in the Aaron Rodgers in the same entry. All right, it's all available at the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really, really that easy. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Use that promo code Locked On, or you can go to the App Store and download the app today. It is PrizePicks, daily fantasy that is made easy. And the proud sponsor of today's episode, it is NetSuite. Listen, this is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on outdated spreadsheets and financing software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite by Oracle is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and a whole lot more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses have increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. So over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And for the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. Head on over to netsuite.com/locked for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. That is netsuite.com/locked. Welcome back, guys, and thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen every single day. You need to make sure to check out the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview 2021. It's where local experts are going to get betting advice and draft analysis on everything, plus the most comprehensive college football playoff preview that begins this Friday. It's the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview 2021. Welcome back into Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, @_Kaner, and @LockedOnVols. Don't forget Sports Santa's coming up on Friday's show. Tweet me, DM me, and hashtag it Sports Santa. What would you ask Santa Claus to bring your Tennessee athletics fandom this year? Would it be a Final Four appearance? Would it be a 10-win regular season in football next year? Would it be for Cedric Tillman to stay or Cade Mays to stay? Whatever the case may be, Sports Santa, we'll get to those on Friday, that being a Christmas Eve show. Would love, just like in Twitter Tuesday, to have your guys' participation in that. It would be a whole lot of fun. Okay, so the tight end room received some great news, all right? Received a whole lot of good news on Tuesday. So as we continue on with bowl preparation for Tennessee versus Purdue, we have had some media availabilities and some different players that met with the media and everything. And so one of those players was Jacob Warren, redshirt junior right here from the Knoxville area, Farragut, Tennessee. Jacob has carved out a nice little niche on this team. He came in as a linebacker under, I think Butch Jones actually signed him. And then he was a Butch Jones commit. Jeremy Pruitt held on to him, signed him. He was going to be a linebacker, maybe a defensive end, but he's been a tight end this entire time. And he started contributing on a regular basis last season, and now he's been one of the main guys that's tied in. And he came back and said it was really just no surprise, but the question was asked if Jacob Warren would be returning next year, and he said that he would. He said he's excited to continue on with this offense, continue the progression, and continue just to get better. Was asked about Princeton Fant and about his working relationship with Princeton Fant, and he said he loves the guy. He loves kind of going hand in hand, and they really truly split the series both 50-50. They bring a lot of things that the same to the table, but they're also different in a number of ways. Asked Princeton Fant about Jacob Warren, he said, "Hey, that's my brother. I love that guy. I love going to work with him each and every day." And those two guys are bringing the rest of the tight end room along as well. But asked Princeton Fant earlier today as well, "Hey, are you planning on taking advantage of the COVID year and returning for the 2022 season?" And he said, "Hey, I'll have a decision today. But essentially, I'm not going to tell you right now." So that was earlier on a Tuesday in media availability. Well, later Tuesday afternoon, Princeton Fant goes ahead and tweets @pfant12. "It's in your hands, Father. Let's run it back. #God's plan. And it's a picture of him on the football field and a picture of him with his fellow tight end. So that is Princeton Fant acknowledging that he is going to return for the 2022 season. That is fantastic news for this Tennessee offense. Not only are you returning right now for the 5 starting offensive linemen, you're returning your starting quarterback, you're returning your 3 running backs that saw I mean, Jabari Small saw a lot of playing time. Jalen Wright saw a good bit, and Lenith Whitehead stepped in a little bit as well. You're adding to that room. You say goodbye to Tyon Evans, of course, but you're adding to that room with some guys in the signing class. You're bringing back, I still believe it will be Cedric Tillman. He just hasn't announced it yet. I believe you're going to be bringing back Cedric Tillman. You have to replace two wide receivers out there. But, you know, for an offense that's looking to take an even bigger step, and or not, I wouldn't say bigger step because this is quite a big step in year one, but to take another step in year two in this system with Josh Heupel, you're bringing back pretty much your entire offense, minus a few very, albeit productive players. But you're bringing back the core. And so much of it helps when you bring back your quarterback. I don't have to even go into that with Hendon Hooker. But, you know, the tight ends in this offense do so much. They line up on the line of scrimmage and block. They line up as H-backs. They line up as fullbacks. They sometimes line up as tailbacks. They run routes out of the H-back formation. They run routes out of the backfield. They've split and line up. They run routes out of the slot. They line up outside and run routes, you know, by the numbers and the sideline. They block out on the perimeter. That's something that Princeton Fant does so well, is he blocks on the perimeter, and that allows, you know, these wide receivers, whether it be Javonte Payton, Bayless Jones, to spring and get, you know, long gains and sometimes even touchdowns. So the versatility of these tight ends, it's something that often it never shows up on the stat sheet, but it's something that sometimes fans, it even goes unnoticed with fans. But I'll read you the stats here for both Jacob Warren and Princeton Fant in 2021. Both those guys have played in 12 games, of course, have the bowl game coming up. You have Jacob Warren, who has 18 receptions for 179 yards and 3 touchdowns. You have Princeton Fant, who has 13 receptions for 149 yards and a touchdown. So the numbers are not jumping off the page, albeit, but you have guys that they just do so much in terms of, you know, getting this offense up and running with the tempo, and they're critical in the blocking schemes in this offense. And that's something Princeton Fan said. He said, hey, I love this offense, and I love, you know, being the tight end in this offense because we actually get targets. We actually get the ball. Far be it more than what they did in Jim Chaney's offense and Tyson Helton's offense in years past. So Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren are returning to Tennessee in 2022, and they will look to bring along a group of guys that still consist of Miles Campbell, Julian Nixon. You had Trinity Bell, who came in but did not hardly practice last year, never dressed out because he tore his ACL, and actually in the last winter, before coming to campus in basketball, he was pretty much a medically redshirt this year, but he's been practicing on the defensive line during bowl prep. So it looks like he's getting a look at the defensive line. But remember, Tennessee is adding a 2023 Ethan Davis, a nice tight end prospect to come for the Volunteers in that class. And so I think a lot of reason that's why, you know, Tennessee kind of quote-unquote processed Brody Foley, who was the tight end commit for this class, because they like what they have in this room right now, and they've already got someone coming in the class of 2023 that they feel really, really good about. So that's kind of where we are right now. But Jacob Warren and Princeton Fant coming back to Tennessee, and that is nothing but good news. So here are the guys returning right now. Hendon Hooker, who've at least announced that they're returning. Hendon Hooker, Jerome Carvin. We'll see about Cade Mays, who I still think is NFL bound. We'll see about Trayvon Flowers. I feel like he's trending back to Tennessee, but we'll have to keep an eye on that one. And then here are the losses. And, of course, Jacob Warren and Princeton Fant, who I've talked about this entire segment. Here are the losses. Alonde Taylor is going to the NFL draft. Theo Jackson, Matthew Butler, Bayless Jones, Javonte Payton, Jaquan Blakely, and Caleb Tremblay. All those guys have exhausted their eligibility. And then Tyon Evans, of course, entered the transfer portal. So that's kind of a look at the roster right now. I don't believe I missed any big ones. I'm sure I missed, you know, one or two here and there, but we'll have to see as more super seniors make their decision if they're going to return. But on Tuesday, Jacob Warren, which was absolutely no surprise, said he's coming back. And Princeton Fant, which was, again, we kind of assumed that he was going to come back as well, but he made that announcement on social media Tuesday afternoon. Okay, we'll get to some leftover Twitter Tuesday in segment number 3, but something I'm going to be paying attention to tonight and really the rest of the week with all this NFL football going on is my betonline.ag account. And it's got you covered, that being BetOnline, for all this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march throughout the college bowl season and to the pro football playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all your sports action this season, and you need to head on over to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today, and you're going to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. I don't want you to wait to take advantage of all these amazing offers available for this season. BetOnline is the fastest. BetOnline is the easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all these offers that have new amazing offers available to come as well. It's BetOnline. It is where the game starts. And you knew we couldn't get through a Wednesday show without giving some props to our friends over at Built. Built bars are delicious. They are perfect for that stocking stuffer here this holiday season. If you're friends with Santa, hey, tell them to throw in some Built bars into that stocking to wake up to on a Christmas morning. If you like a hot cup of cocoa, let it melt a little bit. Put a Built bar in there. Let it melt a little bit to give your beverage a bit of a Built bar flavor. Plus, you're going to have a nice melty Built bar to go with it. Be sure to have a couple of napkins on hand as well. Do you need something to fend off those holiday shoppers while you're standing in line? Do you need something to fight off the crowds? Built bar has got you covered because it's a protein bar. It gives you ample, high-end protein while it's low calories, low sugar, low net in carbs, and low fat. Okay, it looks and tastes like a candy bar because it's 100% chocolate, but it is a protein bar. So a great deal going on right now. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. That is Built.com, LOCK15 for 15% off your order. Again, one more time, it is Built.com. Just a couple more minutes left here on a Wednesday Locked On Vols, and something we've kind of gotten the habit to over the last couple weeks is sometimes these Twitter Tuesday submissions come in after the recording time or later in on the next day, on which is Tuesday. And so I like to go back and get some of the ones that we might have missed. And so we got a couple that we're going to get into, just two, then as we kind of finish off our Wednesday show and get you guys ready for Tennessee and Arizona tonight at Thompson Bowling Arena. So Kurt chimes in, and this is what he wants to know. This is his tweet, quote, "This is based off something you said after signing day and the uncertainty of sorts at the quarterback position for next year. How much did the dismissal of Caden Salter set them back there?" Well, at the time, it wasn't that big of a blow. I mean, of course, Caden Salter was a big get in your class of 2021, all right? He was a four-star quarterback, one of the top eight dual-threat quarterbacks in the country. He won a state. He played for a state championship in Cedar Hill, Texas. He was a leader in that recruiting class. I talked to him many, many times, and he was really personable on the phone and so courteous with his time. And he seemed like he was kind of the straw that stirs the drink, right? I've said that many, many times. Well, of course, he came in and immediately got into trouble. He was a part of that incident at the Gibbs dorm where a couple of the Tennessee football players, some of which who are no longer here, were charged with a couple of different things going up, and essentially they went and beat up somebody and took drugs, and it's just kind of a black eye and just a kind of a bad look there. And that was just a couple of weeks with Josh Heupel on the job, right? So that was strike number one. He was suspended for the rest of the season. Essentially, did not go through spring practice. Was reinstated, welcome back. He was there in June to start summer workouts, and just a couple weeks into his fresh start, he was pulled over along with Amari McNeil, and they had weed in the car. And so that was two strikes and you're out. And so Tennessee had to say goodbye to Caden Salter, a scholarship quarterback. So from the beginning of June, you started with five scholarship quarterbacks, which is a whole lot. It really is. It's probably too much to begin with, but you had five quarterbacks. Let's fast forward to the end of the regular season. Tennessee only had two scholarship quarterbacks because Brian Maurer entered the transfer portal during fall camp. Harrison Bailey entered the transfer portal at the end of the bye week. And so you were left with only Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton. If something were to happen to Hendon Hooker and or Joe Milton, you had Gaston Moore as your third string quarterback, who was at UCF when Josh Heupel was there, but he's a walk-on quarterback here on this roster right now. And so, needless to say, you need at least three scholarship quarterbacks, at least three scholarship quarterbacks on the roster at all times. And that can be kind of a juggling act nowadays because, of course, you have the transfer portal. Like Harrison Bailey, you're not getting reps. You're clearly, down in the order and all that type of stuff. You want to go on and look for greener pastures and see if, there's a better spot for you out there. I think this isn't necessarily just a Harrison Bailey. Brian Maurer also found a home at Stephen F. Austin. But this isn't necessarily a comment towards Harrison Bailey, but I think we're finding out, guys, especially quarterbacks entering the transfer portal, the pastures aren't always greener on the other side. We're seeing a lot of guys just hang out in there. And so I think as we learn and kind of get the learning curve of what's going on here. We'll have to see exactly if we see so many other players into the transfer portal immediately when things might not be going their way at the time. And so, but back to your question, Kurt, how much has it set it back, you know, entering, I guess, the 2023 season? Well, at that point in time, Hendon Hooker will be gone. If Joe Milton is still on the roster, he will have a year of eligibility left. He could be Tennessee's starting quarterback in the 2023 season, right? Well, you also have your signee quarterback in this class in Taven Jackson. He is extremely raw. He is a true freshman right now. But you give him a year to watch and learn from Hendon Hooker how to go about your business, how to go into meetings, how to approach the weight room, how to approach the nutrition plan, how to approach practice and drills and all that type of stuff. Watch him on game days, gets reps and reps and reps. Maybe Taven Jackson is ready to roll by the 2023 season, and you have a Taven Jackson-Joe Milton battle. Is Joe Milton still on the roster by then? I don't believe he can transfer unless he can transfer down. That is to my understanding. The one-time transfer waiver is one time where you gain immediate eligibility. It doesn't matter if he's already been a graduate before. That's how it's been explained to me. So is Joe Milton even on this roster anymore? That's a big question. But I do think he is now, and I think that he's going to enter the spring semester still a part of this team. At least that's what I'm hearing. So you've got Joe Milton. You got Taven Jackson. Navy Schuler has announced that he will transfer to Tennessee. He will walk on. He will not be a scholarship player, but kid can spin it. He was a great high school quarterback. Josh Heupel won in the UCF. I don't know realistically how he would compete against the guys like those guys. I just don't know, but he would be an option. Plus, he's an older guy. He's been in Appalachian State the last 2 years watching, you know, guys like Chase Bryce, who was formerly at Clemson, then he was at Duke, then he was at Appalachian State. He's been watching guys like that. So, you know, Caden Salter could have come in and been a factor in that competition, but overall, with the era of the transfer portal, I really don't think it's going to hurt Tennessee too much. Now, I'm not saying Caden Salter is not talented. I mean, there's a reason why Jim Chaney wanted him here to Tennessee. He's very, very talented. But with the era of the transfer portal, and as attractive as Tennessee is playing in the SEC and with the Josh Heupel offense, Tennessee can likely go out and get a quarterback to, you know, join a class. And so that's what I would expect later on. I still expect Tennessee to maybe look for some more, for another body to add to that quarterback room in this class. All right, finally, we'll get to one more. Kurt, appreciate you chiming in. We'll go to James, and we'll make this one quick because we're already running a little overboard. James Bailey, future Twitter Tuesday question. We'll answer it right here. What sort of creativity and unintended consequences can you foresee with NIL going forward? Two that come to mind for me are these deals that could stipulate that a player has to pay back all benefits if they choose to sit out a bowl game. And the second and more interesting one is it could lead to guys who are college stars but not high-level NFL talents staying in college and taking sure money. I think of Hooker in regards to the second question. Yeah, James, that's a good point. First and foremost, as far as the stipulations, I mean, you're signing a contract, right? When you sign a contract, when you sign an agreement with this place of business, you're saying, all right, I'm going to pay you X amount of money. You need to voice my radio spots. You need to do my TV spots. You need to come by the store once or twice every month for a photo shoot, yada, yada, yada. You are obligated to fulfill those duties since you signed the contract. If you do not, then that place of business will not pay you. I guess if they come to an agreement, business and players, saying if I don't play in a bowl game, I have to give back X amount of my profits or whatever the case may be or percentage of this, I guess that can be the case. If I'm a player, I'm not signing nothing that says that because, again, you're thinking about your future, your likelihood if you are going to hurt yourself by potentially playing in a bowl game. Like, look at Alante Taylor, for example. He's the perfect example. He's a guy that, you know, is probably rounds 3 through 6 or 7 slated. I don't really know. I don't dive into that until later on in the spring. But he's a guy that's hurt right now. If he would not fully rehab and try to get his foot healthy, if he would have played in this game, maybe he would have injured it more. But that's taking time away from letting him rest and heal to go run that 40-yard dash at the combine and or pro day and or senior bowl coming up at the end of January. So if I'm a player, I'm not signing nothing like that. But potentially, if it is an agreement between place of business and player, then whatever is on that agreement, and once that player signs, you gotta fulfill it. The other one would be, yeah, I fully expect some players. I mean, Cade Mays falls in this category as well. You know, Cade Mays is likely wanting a name, image, and likeness deal that's going to pay him as much as kind of where he's slotted right now in 3rd, 4th, 5th round. That's anywhere from, you know, $400,000 to, you know, $900,000, right? I mean, it's pretty big. It's vague, but, you know, off the top of my head, that's kind of where it's slotted. well, I don't think any business around here is going to pay him that much money. But say, what if he stays back and he gets a name, image, likeness deal worth $200,000? Would that be enough for him to say? You know, potentially for him to come back, be healthy, get more tape, play with his brother. You know, maybe those are things you have to kind of weigh here. I think Hendon Hooker simply just wants to be drafted higher. And sure, he'll get a name, image, and likeness deal, of course, because you're the quarterback of the University of Tennessee. I don't think his was monetarily driven, right? But maybe for Cade Mays, it could be. So yeah, I definitely do think you got players that have another year of eligibility, especially with this COVID year, the next two more cycles, because we're already seeing it one, and we're going through it again here with these four classes in school affected by the COVID year. Maybe you'll see guys that say, hey, I can improve my stock. I can make money by staying another year. It's only going to help me. The only big risk would be to get hurt and maybe fall out of draft consideration. And don't get me wrong, that is a big risk. But if you're a sixth or seventh round peg draft pick right now, sometimes it's better to be an undrafted free agent, if you know what I'm saying. So we will have to see. But yeah, good questions there, James. I think that there are some big time unintentional or consequences that come with name, image, and likeness. And here's one more as we end the show. Remember the five-star cornerback Travis Hunter, one of the top-rated prospects in the entire country, switching from Florida State to Jackson State and Deion Sanders on National Signing Day? Don't just think he wants to go play for Deion Sanders. No, there is a huge name, image, and likeness deal coming with that. That is the biggest caveat of this whole thing, is essentially boosters can go buy players, and right now it is completely legal. It is completely legal. All right. Great, great show, guys. Looking forward to seeing Tennessee play Arizona tonight. We'll recap it all on a Thursday Locked On Vols. Guys, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Don't forget to get your sports Santas in. We'll do it on Friday's show. And check out Locked On Bets. Make that your second listen as you venture on throughout your Wednesday. Guys, thanks so much. Again, happy holidays. Merry Christmas coming up in a few days. Thanks for enjoying this week leading up to it here with me on Locked On Vols. We'll talk again tomorrow.